again. I'm Drew Wilder. It is your business. Business talk, straight talk. We do it, and it's legal. Every weekend at this time, we talk with Stan Sadlak, sponsored by Steeplechase Advisors. Stan's been helping businesses with taxes, insurance, real estate, asset protection, business succession, even personnel problems, helping businesses throughout Connecticut for a long, long time. So, and we'll tell you at the end of the show how you can get in touch with Stan for a no-fee business consultation. How are you today, Stan?
I'm doing well, Drew. How are you?
I'm doing well. We're talking about, I think, a very important subject. We can talk about service or lack of. Is it lack of? I mean, my perception is that service has kind of gone down the drain in the last few years.
What service?
Yeah, exactly.
What is it?
That's the point. That's where they used to, like, answer the phone and transfer you to the right person or be able to answer your question.
Well, you know, my motto is everything is a problem. Every time you turn around. You know, I had one of those drive you crazy. So, you know, I had a credit card, and I went to use it, and it got declined. I said, that's kind of strange. So I went to use it again to get gas. It got declined. And I asked the person. They said, well, it wasn't declined. It said it can't read your card. I said, okay. So when I got back into my car, I called up the credit card company, and I said, listen, I just went to use my card, and it's not working. And she said, oh, let me look. So she looks it up. And, you know, it takes, of course, 20 minutes to get through to a human.
Right, right.
And she said, oh, you canceled your card at 1:30 in the morning and ordered a new one.
Uh-oh.
I said, what are you talking about? If it's after 10 o'clock, you're not going to find me going on the Internet. Yeah. And she said, yeah, it was canceled and the address changed. I said, listen, you better cancel it right now because that's fraud.
Oh.
I had nothing to do with it. And so they canceled it.
Right.
And they said, we'll send you out a new card right away. Well, 15 days go by and I don't get a card.
Huh.
So again, I call them up and it takes 20 minutes to get to a human being asking all these stupid questions. So I said, hey, listen, you know, this is what happened and I never got my credit card. They said, okay, well, we'll cancel that one that was issued and set up a new one and we'll send you a new card. Okay, 15 days go by and I don't have a credit card.
Hmm.
So I called them up, and now it took me a half an hour to get a human being. And, you know, they just all they, and I said, look, I need a new credit card, and or else, you know, maybe I shouldn't have a credit card.
And it's in their interest to get it to you fast.
And I won't say the name of the company, but I was very disappointed. So I said, you know, if I'm traveling, I mean, how would I ever get a new card if something occurred like that?
Right, you'd be in trouble.
Obviously, she didn't answer. She said, well, all we can do is send you a new one. I said, well, listen, can you send it certified mail or FedEx or UPS or something?
Which they should
do. No, I'm sorry, we can't
do
that.
That's surprising because they want to get it to you. They want you to use it.
Right. So we're kind of at our wit's end on that.
Yeah,
so
I'm always.
So do you think life is confusing, or do you think we make it confusing?
I think there are just so many more ways for people to get a hold of you. And I mean, it used to be simple. You had a phone. Now you got the texts, and you got to check the emails, and people don't answer the phone, like you're saying. You got digital pockets, so when I call with an important call, I am praying that I'm not going to lose the connection just as I'm getting the answer, or once they answer. So I kind of memorize where the digital pockets are. I try not to drive that way. It's more important to get the person than to go the quickest way to get to where I'm going.
So it was Confucius that actually said, life is really complicated, but we insist on making it complicated.
Interesting. So what's AI going to do? If service is so poor, maybe that's going to like remedy the whole thing? Machines? Or is that going to make it more complex?
Well, I think what you're going to see happen, and it's already starting, that I think the service industry will stay pretty safe. But the white collar industry, you know, lawyers that write contracts, underwriters that review insurance, those jobs are going to disappear. There will be new jobs that develop, and it's sort of like, you know, when we went from a horse and buggy to the train to the car.
Mm-hmm.
It's inevitable. It's going to happen. The Industrial Revolution is here. The information age came about. The Internet age came about. I'm not convinced that the electric car age is going to stay, because in 8 years, when you have to start getting rid of your car batteries, who's going to take them?
Right.
They're toxic waste.
Yeah.
So,
and overcharging the system, the electrical grid won't handle it. More problems that I think than it.
I mean, I think there'll be hybrid type of vehicles.
Right.
That should be interesting. But anyway, so, you know, when one door closes, the old saying is another door opens.
Yep.
And I really think that's true. You know, we've seen this with. We're undergoing it's a real shame in this country right now. Affordable housing is so difficult to come by. I was telling the story about, you know, all these migrants are being put into hotels. So they're canceling weddings. They're taking people who are under contract with homeless veterans, taking them out and putting them on the street because they're bringing the migrants in at a much higher rent rate. Right. So a couple interesting questions flow from that. If a hotel now is just getting paid for all the migrants, for example, I believe it's Taunton, Massachusetts, they closed down the Clarion Hotel and took 4,200 Haitians and brought them in. And so now, is their hotel license still valid, or are they now a boarding house?
Right. That's interesting. Yeah.
It's an interesting question.
And who's paying for all this? We are.
Of course.
Yeah, of course we are.
But that leads into an interesting point that the state of Massachusetts is the only state in the United States that is a right to shelter place, which means that if you come to that state and you have no roof over your head, the state is obligated to find you a place to live.
Really?
It's
like
the only state.
Your hospital has to take care of you.
And so, you know, that's having an interesting consequence. I'm still thinking this through, trying to sort it out. But why do we have such a housing shortage when so many people are leaving New England and going to Florida and Texas? Where was I reading that in New York, 1,100 people a day are leaving New York City?
Right.
So the question is if everybody is leaving, why is there a shortage of housing, of apartments? Mm-hmm. And the only thing I can think of is that we have taken in so many illegal immigrants, mm-hmm. and we are now creating so much subsidized housing that these immigrants are taking over the housing, mm-hmm. and they're taking over the property where hardworking middle-class families lived, who are now leaving the state. So the consequence is that the people who are now here are not earning as much.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them are living off the government,
mm-hmm.
and they are creating a housing shortage. So when those kids do come down out of college and want to get a job, they can't find a place to live. I mean, that was a big article in the paper recently about a girl got a great job. Out of New Haven.
Mm-hmm.
She's a graduate of one of the schools in Boston, and mm-hmm. she had offers all over the country. She decided to come to New Haven, but she can't find a place to live. So I think what's happening is that people are leaving, the hard-working people paying taxes are leaving. The migrants are coming in, and they yet still can't work.
Mm-hmm.
So they're now on the public dole, taking up the housing. So we're heading towards the point where we're not going to get enough tax revenue. People here are going to get overtaxed, and new people aren't going to come to town because they have no place to live. So maybe what we should do is, one of our guests said to us earlier, maybe we should charge each of these migrants $5,000 to come to America. They pay the cartels $15,000.
Yeah.
Maybe they should pay us $5,000 to come here.
I think brilliant idea. What a way to reduce the deficit.
Right.
Of course, it only did $97 billion of $32 trillion or $31.5 trillion in the deficit.
And while we are waiting for their court date, and since we know where they live, let them get a license to work and pay taxes to the state, to the city, to the federal government. They're not citizens, and I don't even want to have that conversation about citizens, the right to vote, but you might as well put them to work and carry the load.
It would resolve several problems. I mean, I just read in the Wall Street Journal, here's a number, 62% of people in jobs are satisfied with where they are, not willing to make a change. They like their coworkers. I mean, the environment, the job security, because it's so hard to find people these days. So, I mean, labor, maybe if they became documented and could work, maybe that would fill all these other jobs that no one's willing to switch jobs, and the people that don't want to work, willing to work and fill the ones that are open for
so,
jobs.
So, Drew, the other day I was in the bank, and I saw this little plaque on the wall, and I said, hey, you know, this is really interesting. I didn't know this. So the population of the United States is about 330 million, mm-hmm. okay? So there are 33.2 million small businesses. Mm-hmm. So roughly 10% of the American right. population owns small businesses.
Which is a lot.
Of that 33.2 million, 43% are women-owned.
Huh.
Very interesting.
Yeah,
it's
higher than I would have guessed. I would have had 20, 30 years ago, I bet you it was half that, if that. That's interesting. So service, so would all these solutions improve service? I mean, I think it's a given that service has gotten worse. Businesses, everyone's trying to cut corners, cut back, this inflation and just the whole economy with how regulations we talked about on our last show. Just it's so much more of a challenge to make money in a business, and that just all results in fewer people. Therefore, you get worse service. So is that like a major problem, or do people care about, or does everyone want the best price and they don't really care about not getting the service that would go with
it? That's really a great question. I ponder this quite a bit when I'm driving. So, you know, a person can go to one of the big box stores and buy a tractor and, you know, to mow the lawn or buy a lawnmower, but they don't have anybody to service it. Yet they can then go to a small business place that sells the tractors or mm-hmm, the lawnmowers. Mm-hmm. And it's the same price now as the big stores. It used to be a big difference.
Right.
No more. Yeah. And they'll service it for you. So why would I, as the homeowner, go to a big box store right. and get no service when I can go to a small business and get service for life?
Exactly. You get
and it's the same price.
Kill two birds with one stone, yeah.
And so that's a long-winded answer to your question. I don't understand how people make their decisions or what they do. It's very strange. And when you take a look, I think, what was the number I was looking at? 46.4% of all people in the United States, again, 46.4% of all people that are of working age in the United States work for small business.
Wow, that's a lot. Half the people in this country, just about.
Right.
That is very high. I think it's definitely a now society. Everyone wants it now. That's the way texts work. It's the way everything seems to work. So I think just a huge amount of people, I don't know the percentages, but that buy things don't think about the service. They figure this thing's going to run forever. I'm not going to need to. I'll just get the better price now.
And the other thing they don't realize is that, okay, they say that the United States needs to export, right? Well, 97% of all those small businesses that we talked about out there mm-hmm. are exporting businesses.
Mm.
So do you think Walmart exports more or imports more? It's the small business that's really exporting goods to other countries.
Right, right. The lifeblood of the country.
Right.
Especially 46% are small businesses. That's
right.
Amazing.
So I think what you're seeing now, we are really in a metamorphosis of this country. And the question is, one, will we have a civil war? Two, will we adjust? Three, will we continue to be so divided between good and evil? We really don't have the answer to any of these questions. I mean, both parties have made some real mistakes.
Yep.
So I think we have to take a look at what's going to happen with AI,
mm-hmm.
what's going to happen with small business, what's going to happen with big business. I mean, you work for a small business. This yeah. radio station is a small business. And we're just not sure how this is all going to unravel. But I can tell you one item that I'm very comfortable with, mm-hmm. and that is the stock market's going to tank.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a while.
I know, but is this when you take a look at all of these issues going on,
right. you would think
how can it stay up there?
Oh,
I talk
yeah.
about hedge funds, and you know, where, what is the future of the hedge funds, of how they just bleed everything and survive? Right. Every, in my opinion, everything is just being so artificially propped up
right.
that when the air starts to come out of the balloon, there's no way you're going to stop it. So, for example, I mean, I'm reading a lot lately about how much cash should you keep around. That if things really do tank, let's say with the budget doesn't get passed by Congress, as an example,
right,
or something else,
right. You can't get your money out of the bank. So, what would you recommend as a business consultant, which you are, Stan Sadlak, Steeplechase Advisors in Hartford? I mean, what do you tell people? 4 months?
I you know, I think you should take a look at about 8 weeks. To me, that's the magic
only
number.
8 weeks.
8 weeks to, of cash available to get by. At you know, at some point, it. We're just going to have one bank in this country. It's going to be Chase. I mean, there is a premeditated plan to wipe out all the banks in the United States and slowly but surely turn them over to Chase. I mean, take a look at their takeover of these First Republic Bank, Silicon Valley. They were allowed to take over all the deposits, but they didn't take over any of the liabilities.
Right.
That all went to the FDIC, which is the federal government. And by the time we're done, just from those two banks plus PacWest, which will get taken over, the liability to the taxpayers could amount to $100 billion.
That's amazing. And, of course, you don't hear that from our leaders, so-called leaders.
Right. So if you take a look, you know, at the if the tablecloth is on the table, and you take, you start to lift up the tablecloth to look under, you're not, that table isn't being held together very, very well. And most people are in denial.
Yeah.
And most people don't really care. I mean, I was telling you earlier that my, I have a daughter who is 16 years old in school. So in their civics class, they were asked, after studying all of the presidents for the last 45 presidents, in today's world, who would you bring in? Who are the top four presidents of the past that you would bring in to straighten out our economy and to handle foreign policy, prevent war?
Right, you gave me the answer before. I'm shocked that that was the answer. Maybe I shouldn't be so shocked.
So the majority of the class picked Obama.
Mr. Regulation.
Number two was FDR. Number three was Jimmy Carter. And there was only one vote for the last one, who was Reagan. They have no clue as to what's going on. If you look it through history, Obama never knew anything about business.
Right.
He was really just an activist.
Well, his famous line I'll never forget is, "You didn't build this,"
right,
like the government did it for you. One of the most absurd things I've ever heard.
FDR, who was a socialist for 3.5 terms. Carter, who was a peanut farmer but never understood anything about business.
Right.
And then one vote for Reagan for his supply-side economics. So
that's mind-boggling. And if you stand up and disagree with it, because I remember I did that in high school. I disagreed something with Nixon. I stood up for Nixon about his foreign policy. And I still have a tape of it. I wonder if the cassette probably wouldn't play, but I actually taped it. I have it from like many years ago, and I got ridicule. Of course, I grew up in New York City, and New York was as liberal then, or maybe a little less liberal, but I got like attacked by everyone in my class in high school.
Yep. So, you know, I was telling my younger son, who is graduating, and, you know, he's kind of, you know, he's at crossroads between he's going on, he's done. And I said, well, look, you know, you have your happy days, you have your sad days, but at least you don't have to worry about what your draft number is to go to Vietnam.
That is true. Yeah, I remember those days. Yeah, it's. I wonder if that day will come with all the potential major wars that we're in or close to being in. I mean, I wonder if I always wonder if a draft will come back. I think it's very likely.
But you're going to have to. They're just not meeting their goals. So the only way you can get people to go into the military is to say, you have to go.
Yeah. I mean, you think about all the potential major, major crises with foreign countries.
So, Drew, how do we bring service back to small business?
Make service great
big
again.
Big business.
Yeah. How do you do that? Just tell people to pick up the phone?
I think what you have to do is to find places to go out and go to enough places, I'm going to use the word places, to find out who believes in service.
Or who knows that they're losing business because they don't have the service. How do you prove that? How do you prove that that's the reason?
That, you know, that's a difficult. You just have to
experiment. Yeah, it's an intangible.
I mean, you can go to a restaurant three times and have service great two times and one bad experience.
And usually when you get bad service, you just don't come back. You just, I tell you, Mother's Day, went to a place, I can't believe what I paid for. My brother-in-law was here, so paid for five brunches, and it was astronomical. And the only thing is, I just try not to overeat because I feel sick when I overeat, and it was an all-you-can-eat buffet. But the only thing I really cared about was the simplest thing, which was the coffee. I asked three times if I could have some coffee, and I never got the coffee. And then the manager came over towards the end, and how was your meal? And I said, I guess it was good, but you know, the simplest thing, the one thing that your person probably gets paid for was pouring the coffee. But I asked three times, I never got it. That's interesting, she said. I don't hear that. I really don't hear people complain about things.
So did she get you a cup of coffee?
No, she gave me a... It reminds me of one of the shows that we did that we used to... She gave me a 25% coupon for my next meal there. I actually walked into the kitchen to ask for the coffee, and then I actually followed the person back to the table just to pour me the coffee. But I'm wondering if she was telling the truth, that she's never heard that. That's called the isolation game, where they make you feel like you're the only one that ever says something, so they feel like you, so you feel worse about asking for it. Or whether people just don't complain, they just don't come back.
I think it's all of the above.
So you think it's a mixture.
You know, whenever I ask for a coffee and I don't get it, I'll go up and pour it myself.
I couldn't find it.
Just to get them mad. Why right. are you doing this?
Yeah, they get mad at you.
I've asked three times for a cup of coffee. I want it.
Right. That was the only responsibility this person had.
Right.
And she got kind of looked at me like I was crazy to say that. It's the only. I think it's the only thing she had to do today. And I asked her three times.
But, you know, I've got to bring up the other side of this conversation.
Okay. Yep.
And that, you know, when you ask for service and you demand service, there are some people that abuse service.
Right.
That they will deliberately complain. You know, the story of the little old lady who, you know, her coffee's too hot. Her
right.
coffee's too cold. You know, not enough sugar.
Right. They want a free out of it.
No matter what the waitress or the person does, they will not be happy.
Well, that's why these online companies I just read, now the spectrum is shifting with the free returns. They're going to start charging you to return something.
Well, beside, a lot of companies have changed their policy on that. For example, take a look at L.L. Bean.
Right.
You know, there you could have a free return of an item for 100 years.
Right. My brother-in-law used to do that, which is shocking knowing my brother-in-law with where he is in life. But, right, he would bring back his slippers after 3-4 years. So they got rid of that policy.
And that's why they got rid of it, because it was abused.
Yeah. Crazy stuff. That people don't have, like, I mean, I wonder if people are embarrassed. But I don't think people are, like, embarrassed by things today, like bringing something back after you worn it for 3 years.
So I think when you take a look at service today, yes, we are in a pandemic recovery.
Mm-hmm.
We are trying to rebuild. So as the user, you have to have a little patience for that. You also have to have a little patience that many of these young people don't understand service.
Right.
And that's incumbent on the owners of the businesses to try to help them. Big business is no ally of ours in this.
Right.
You know, they're all about soaking out all the money they can get.
Right. Usually you're going to get if you're going to get service anywhere, it's going to be from the locally owned business.
Right. If you want to rebuild the cities, you need to open up. I've always said two things. You need to open up having people live downtown, and you've got to have small business enterprise zones where small business can run, because the big box stores aren't going to do it.
Right. You got to live and breathe the environment. I remember my first radio job I went for. I was thinking about this the other day driving around. They would not hire me because I refused to live in their town. I wanted to live right over the border. I can't remember why, but it probably was a good move on their part. Now that I think of it 40 years later, it's back then I couldn't figure it out. Why would you not hire me? Because I'm not willing to live in your city of license for this radio station. But so you're saying basically, Stan, live and breathe, and that's why live and breathe the community, and that's why the small business usually gives better service than a big chain.
Right. I mean, that has its challenges today. We see those challenges as possibly being consolidation. I think there's going to be a big effort in Connecticut to consolidate a lot of the towns. I don't think that's necessarily good. Mm-hmm. I think there is so much pressure for a one world, one government, one bank, one industry, that it's going to be a challenge to stop it. And I believe that the open borders to let all these migrants in are all part of the plan. So there's a bigger plan going on than you and I will experience. I'm not saying it's a true conspiracy, but there, you know, the German government, Klaus, whatever his name is, he's constantly calling for one world, one government. And it seems to be that this current Democratic administration is working right into that formula. And the Republicans were too.
Yeah.
You know, it's been going on for many years. The question is, will it happen? What will occur? So all you can do is go out there, work hard, try to treat people as you want to be treated. Right. But be very fair, but be very candid. If you feel that your service is not what it needs to be, you need to ask the people, what should I do to do this work better? If, on the other hand, they're abusing it, you need to call them out on that. And, you know, you must learn to bite your tongue and do it in such a way that maybe those people shouldn't be coming back to this place.
Interesting. And you're one of the key things that you can offer at Steeplechase Advisors, Stan, is you give like a neutral, objective opinion, because when you're in the fire all day, it's hard to see the forest for the trees. But and you're offering a no-fee business consultation with all that and helping businesses, with as you've been doing for many years?
Right.
How do they get in touch with you with that?
Well, 860-524-3408. But one very important item of that is, many times when people decide to call me, it's already too late. You know, they see they have a problem. What we really want to do is try to develop more of a coach-like attitude, so that we can identify the problems that the business will have before they have it.
So call Stan. He's been doing it for so many years. Helping your business doesn't cost you anything to find out.
Did you say call Saul or call Stan?
Call Saul. 860-524-3408. I'm Drew Wilder. It's your business. We'll talk to you every weekend at this time. Thanks for listening.
You better take care of business, Mr. Businessman. You better take care of business, Mr. Businessman.